Welcome to the Humans in AI podcast, powered by AI Frontier Network. I'm your host, Flor Laorga. Each episode, we dive into the human story shaping artificial intelligence through the journeys of entrepreneurs, builders, and leaders. We explore the insights, challenges, and visions for the future of AI and humanity. Let's uncover the human side of AI together. Hi, Sri Krishnan.
I appreciate that you and your busy schedule and make some time for this, so thank you very much. I've seen a little bit of your company, Rocket Lane, and what you do. Are you here today? So yeah, let's start then.
Perfect. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat today.
Thanks. Okay, let's start with the regions of your journey. I would like to, I'm curious about entrepreneurial journey. Yes, so I would like to understand what is the kind of main motivation that drives you to choose this as the career, as a career?
Sure. It's actually, I would say, a culmination of things that we saw and experienced in our previous journey. So me and my co-founders did another startup before this, 2012 to 2015, got acquired by a company called Freshworks, continued to build that business within Freshworks for 4.5 years. And we looked back at that 7.5 year journey and thought about what felt broken, what could do with purpose-built software. And one of the ideas that came to us was customer-facing projects, implementation projects, services projects felt like they didn't have something purpose-built for them. And I think that's where we felt there must be a better way to do this and a better way to prevent like the anxiety that ensues both on the internal side and on the customer side. Is this project gonna finish on time? Are we gonna launch our customer on time, etc., and have a more smooth transition that doesn't depend on people turning into superheroes to save the day, but instead, how can a system drive the right efficiency, the right processes, the right governance around tracking projects to completion? And the more mature the services, the more capabilities you need, not just to track a project, but to track the finances behind a project, to track the right resources being on it, etc. And we felt there's a great opportunity to build something unique and new and modern in this space.
Yeah, I saw that you co-founded all other things. Like actually, I found it very interesting because you co-founded everything and then they got acquired for a bigger company and then you create a new company just right after. So I guess that It's very inspiring, I have to say, because I know that building companies is not easy at all. So yeah, congratulations. So
thank you.
Talking a little bit about AI. So when did you first sense that AI could be a game changer for professional services?
See, I think AI has always been a buzzword for a few years now. And there was always this pressure of, okay, what are we doing with AI? But I think what our imagination was, what our ambition was in terms of what we wanted to do with AI, even if you ask me last year versus this year, it's very different. We looked at it last year as, hey, here is what we can do. Here is how we can detect signals from certain calls that teams go on while delivering on PS projects. We looked at it as, hey, how can we automate some of the documentation related work, etc., that services teams do, as well as how do we gain insights or like how do we look at patterns emerging from data of teams that are executing on these services projects to give them better insights, to give them ways of running a tighter ship or saving customer accounts or running a profitable business. But I think this year, as we've seen more examples of AI doing greater things. In a way, I would say last year our thought was the mundane stuff is what AI will do. But now we feel even the more challenging work can be done well with AI, and that humans and AI need to partner a lot more to accomplish things together, because there's some things which humans are good at, but there's a lot of things that AI is better at as well and is getting even better. So I would say looking at how new products came out in the market, let's say Operator from OpenAI, or let's say Lovable or O3 as a research focused model, which does analysis, deep research. All of that gave us a lot more to think about in terms of what we can accomplish, what should our ambition be with AI. And that's what's, I would say, defining our roadmap and what we are trying to accomplish with our product.
Great. So you've said that about AI and humans joining forces, right? So what's one, do you have a story from a customer and from Rocklane that really influenced it in a positive way that you would like to share with us?
Sure. I'll start with the mental model we believe customers and anyone who's really playing around with AI should use in terms of how to work well with AI. I think we need to look at AI as starting as an intern working with you. So anything that is a job that you need to do, you may choose to say, okay, let me do it on my own, or let me give it to the intern to do. You need to give the right instructions to the intern, but once the intern does the work, you also need to verify that it's done the work well, that they have done the work well. And hopefully over time, the intern does better and better work without the need for more guidance from you. They like remember your guidance from the past and turn into an expert, right? Applying the same mental model, I would say one of the areas where we launched AI capabilities already, and we have a lot more coming. What we launched, we call this AI Fills. Think of it as in any document or email that you're creating for a customer, there are sections that can be powered by AI drafting the content for those sections. So let's say a requirements document has 10 different sections in it. In each section, there may be content that is filled out by AI based on what it heard from different calls that you went on with customers. So we essentially have this, like how you have today, Otter listening into our call. We have our own AI note taker, but it's not a simple note taker that does a summary and a transcript. Instead, you have given instructions on different kinds of calls. If it's a solution call, solutioning discussion call versus it's like a kickoff call versus an escalation call, what you want to glean from that call, what you want to document, what you want to fill out in an email to send out to a customer is going to vary. And we help templatize that, including templatizing custom prompts to glean the right information from different calls, fill out the different sections, and essentially do the work in creating a draft of the content. And this is where I think customers are finding a lot of success, because that post-meeting busy work takes up easily 10 hours a week for people, where you're going on multiple calls. After each call, you're like trying to take the transcript or the meeting summary, flesh it out the right way for different kinds of content you need to create, or even writing custom prompts each time. Instead, if you standardize what needs to happen, that gives you a great starting point, a great head start in terms of the content you need to create, the deliverables you need to create.
Thank you for sharing. Before moving forward, I want to clarify what is Rocklane, which is an AI-driven professional services automation. I hear that actually, by the way, congratulations that you've raised that $24 million in Series B, which is very amazing accomplishment. So how did your perspective evolve on balancing rapid growth with meaningful innovation after this?
So I think we've always been a company that cares about growth, but not throwing money at growth. Rather, we want to understand where we can experiment, what we can learn from those experiments. And I would say largely our fundraise was towards two areas. One is we wanted to build some new AI products, which we will take to our customers. So the same professional services teams, post-sale teams that are working with customers, what more can we build for them was our thought. And so part of that fuel goes towards building more product capabilities that I would say is helping us out-innovate our competition in a huge way. We're like way ahead in terms of our AI roadmap, ambition, what we've already delivered, et cetera. And then there is also, of course, a go-to-market expansion. We just recently launched our new team in Europe as well. So we have a much bigger team in the US now compared to last year. And we have a small team in Europe, which we just started recently. So our global ambition is also growing because we found great product market fit and momentum. Now it's about ensuring that the market is aware of our solution. More people are looking at us as the default option to when they think about professional services software.
Great. Congratulations again for your now your team in Europe. Wow. So that's a huge thing actually already. So let's talk a little bit about the team, right? So what internal culture shift do you make to embrace a truly AI-first mindset?
I think it's almost like whenever I think about doing a piece of work, completing a task, can I think about how will I do this using AI? Or how will I do this the next time? How will I automate this work the next time if I had to? So I feel there are a lot of foundational things that need to be fixed in order to enable an organization to leverage AI better. For example, more documentation helps AI do a better job. It helps create more knowledge in the company that becomes context that AI can leverage. Likewise, clean data. When you have better quality data in your CRM and other systems, it's more helpful from the perspective of how AI can act on that data. And I think that's where the foundations are important. And then giving your team the free hand to experiment with more tools, right? Because yes, we build software, we build AI capabilities, but that doesn't stop us from also buying other tools that are going to help us on this journey of truly taking our team towards radical efficiency in every function. So I think the mindset change that we want to see in our teams and in our customers' teams is really to say, are you rethinking how you will do everything today? Are you rethinking about if you had to design this whole process that you do today or your function today, how will you do it differently knowing that AI exists, right? That powerful AI exists. So how will you think through getting your function to radical efficiency? That's the challenge we're posing to every team, every leader in the company, to think about radical efficiency. And that doesn't mean don't spend dollars on experiments. It just means do experiments that you believe are a big leap forward, not just incremental small steps, but what is a big redesign, big rethink that you can do to take that step function change in your function.
Very interesting. So as well with Rock and Lane, you guys got a conference, an event tech called Propel. I kind of hear this Propel 25, but I'm not sure it's 25 because it's, we are in the 25 years. So I'm not sure if that changed with the years. So that's why I call it Propel. I'm not sure. So if you want to clarify that just before
Yes. It is the year. So last year was Propel 24. This year was 25. We've been doing this for 4 years now, starting from Propel 22.
Great. So in this event, for what I hear, like you put together 300 plus people in service and AI leaders. And what surprised you most in those conversations?
I think the biggest surprise for us was that leaders have largely thought about how to use AI for the operational side of things. Think of it as for the back office work that their teams do. But they haven't spent enough time thinking about the actual work that their consultants do, the services teams do, and how to bring AI into that work itself. I think things are moving at such a rapid pace that when you're in a function which is on the defense, customers are asking things of you, you need to deliver that quickly, there are fires to put out, and PS is such a function where you're typically on the back foot, that's not giving the bandwidth to leaders for them to be aware of what's changing, how to evolve the function, how to set the right goals for their teams with AI, etc. And we felt that was a big gap. We actually did a session at the event to open their eyes to what's possible today, where has AI progressed, and what they should be playing around with, experimenting with. And I think that was very well appreciated because they didn't have the bandwidth to do it on their own. And they liked the fact that we took the initiative to work with them and share with them what sort of progress they should pay attention to and what great can look like in the future.
Great. So Also, at Propel 25, you emphasize moving beyond automation tasks to deploying agentic AI. How do you define that progression and why it's so important right now?
I think we're all used to building automations from previous era, right? And the way automations work is essentially you chain together triggers and actions in different tools. You use APIs, et cetera, to hit those tools and make things happen. The way the world has changed, though, is you don't need to be that specific in stringing together things. For example, if you had to, let's say, manipulate data, then you need to know from an automation perspective, what was the source data looking and how to manipulate it to take it to a new form. And you'll need to write specific scripts towards automating that flow. But with AI, here is my end state. Here is the outcome that I want. AI, you can actually challenge AI to come up with how will you do this task. And an agentic system will give you its plan of here is how I will accomplish what you asked for. And then you can just review the plan and say, okay, the plan looks good. Go ahead and do it. And then it ends up happening. I think there's my hand actions cause for celebrations behind me on Zoom. But yeah, the outcome, giving the outcome to AI and saying, you figure out how to get to that outcome is a better way than prompting it in a very specific way or giving it a very guided method to get to the outcome. Because AI agentic systems figure out better ways to do things. You even tell it, hey, here is my objective of what I want to learn from a customer before I set them up for success. It's going to figure out better questions to ask than most humans would to do the right discovery with the customer to take them towards success. So let AI do its job is like the mindset to approach it with. And that's why agentic is more important than automation.
Great. Let's go a bit more. We talk a lot about AI and tech. Now let's go more towards human side of the interview now. So how do you ensure AI empowers but not replace the human expertise at the core of professional services?
Yeah, so I think this is all about working in tandem because AI still needs humans to review, decide what is the right thing to do for different circumstances. And think of humans as sort of the overlords of the agents that we're building, which are going to direct the agents, build the right agents, and you need to continue to build these agents, right? Like today we do things a certain way. There's always the opportunity to keep improving what we do, what outcomes we enable for our customers, how many customers we touch, etc. And that's where the human comes in, about thinking through what needs to happen, thinking through, are we doing the right things? Are we enabling AI to do the right things? Setting the right goals for AI itself and managing these agents in a way and figuring out what agents to build next. I think that's how this partnership can make progress. I feel in a way AI is releasing you from doing things that you needn't focus on doing. So you can look at higher order work and focus on, I think more people focus on building more agents, which can do more work for us, which can make more customers successful or more functions successful overall within the company.
Okay. So what's the most underrated use of the combination of AI and humans in professional services today?
I think the actual doing of the tasks, right? Like when you think about any services project, there are different tasks that you need to do. If each of those tasks, a human were to think about, how will I do this with AI now? How will I partner with AI to do this job better, easier, automate it in the future, etc.? Then I feel that's where a lot of potential lies. And of course, also in documenting the work itself, where I know what needs to be set up for the customer, what we want to accomplish. And we're going on calls with customers, learning more. How do we ensure all of that knowledge is added into our system? so that both other humans and AI can learn from that knowledge about each and every customer. I think that's an area where you can leverage, humans can leverage AI more to do better documentation, which sets up great foundations for agents and humans in the future to come and work on top of it.
Okay, interesting. So as AI systems grow more autonomous, ethical risk can increase. So my question is, how do you deal that at Rocket Lane?
I think our way of working through this is we're going to do things, we're going to make mistakes, but we're going to learn from those mistakes. I don't see it as a ethical challenge today in terms of any of the kinds of work that we're trying to automate using AI. We are not misrepresenting an agent to be a human anywhere. We're handing off work in partnership with a human. Humans are verifying every bit of work that agents are doing. So it's very much like a provide a plan, review the plan of what AI is going to participate in, what it's going to take on and do, verify that it's done the things that were only intended for it to do. And that's how we're ensuring that we're using it in the right arenas and there is no ethical challenge around how we're using it today.
So do you rely on external governance, internal ethics board, or something more community-based? Or it's just the decision that you guys do it as a team?
As of today, we have a small panel of sorts inside the company that's reviewing the AI use cases, what we're using where, ensuring that we are not infringing on any copyrights anywhere in the way we're using AI, et cetera, as well, at least to the best of our knowledge, and keeping up with the trends, right? This panel also is very actively learning from what's out there on the internet, whether it's from Twitter or Reddit forums or whatever, right? So everywhere there's information for us to learn from. We are staying abreast of how companies are using AI, how things can go wrong, and keeping a tab on how we are doing it as well.
I believe that you guys are doing great because we can see it. That's the, everything that's like the company is having so much success is for the good work for you, obviously, and your team. So I guess it's great. You as the founder and CEO of Rocket Lane, I believe that you've gone through tough moments about making decisions or challenges that only you can make these decisions, right? So how do you reconnect with your purpose to keep AI innovation on track?
I think in a way, we're going all in with AI. We're making some big bets and we keep reinforcing with the teams about what goals and outcomes we're looking for with AI and challenging teams to strive for, as I said before, step function change within their functions. And I think that's what keeps the innovation going. We also do weekly like learning sessions for the whole company where our CTO co-founder sort of shows demonstrations of, you know, new capabilities that we've learned about in AI or like a new tool that we came across so that people are aware of what are the possibilities. And so their innovation is with the knowledge of what is possible. It's not in a silo where each team may be at a different stage or maturity with respect to their awareness of AI.
We know right now there's so much hype about AI. Everything is around AI. So it's a bit sometimes difficult to get out of that noise of what is the real important thing and what is not. So how do you distinguish between vanity metrics, for example, faster workflows, and truly transformative outcomes for customers?
Yeah, I think we look at, as I said before, not incremental change, but what can cause radical change for customers. And our view is anything that can shave days of effort from how our customers run their projects. If it's something which can, it's not about a 10% or 15% improvement, but about a 30%, 50% improvement, then that's the kind of things that we focus on so that we are actually taking our customers towards that radical efficiency in their functions, in their teams. So we look at starting from an impact assessment, what can create big impact? And then we work backwards to say, okay, here's the problems we want to tackle because here's what can create most impact for our customers. So we did a lot of analysis even to pick which problems, which use cases we want to solve.
Okay, great. We know that the future is going to be AI agents. Everybody's talking about AI agents that's going to replace people, humans, whatever. What role do you see the CEO level leadership playing when that happens?
I think guiding your teams towards enabling them to be better in working with AI, challenging them to do more with AI is where I see my role is to ensure that our teams are aiming high and are not afraid. They're not feeling that, hey, this is a threat to me, but instead they're seeing this as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for them to show what kind of impact they're able to create for the org and give them that confidence that, you know, just because you automate something doesn't mean your work is gone. It actually means you earned the right to automate more and there's more that we can do together.
Yeah, I believe that AI gives us a lot of efficiency, right? We are more efficient and productive, but it doesn't mean that they're actually talking about, I'm not sure if you hear about the AI avatars where they are mirroring how humans feel, how humans talk, how humans basically be us, but in an avatar because they are not real humans.
The way we see it, if it's done the right way, if you're using, for example, I use my own real voice, but instead of making a video, I pass it through Heijin and say, okay, make the video for me. And it's just a more efficient way to get an engaging message across. So use the right way. I think there is benefit. Use the wrong way. Yes, there are challenges with deep fakes and so on to spread misinformation. So we need to be careful about it.
Okay, good. We are already almost ending, so I'll let you know. Yeah, so about let's talk a little bit about your personal, your perspective and future a little bit. How do you keep learning and stay curious personally and professionally with all the pressure that you have?
I think we need to take time to get hands-on with the new products, new capabilities that are being launched by existing products, etc. The more you try it out, the more you get a feel for what's possible today and use it in both professional and personal life. I think both of these give you opportunities to truly experience what's changing with AI and what you would do differently in your life, what future to plan for. And I think it's very important to have a good view of what the future needs to be, because we are all together inventing this new future, making it happen. And so having the right view of what that future is that we're inventing is important. And I feel leaders can't afford to be hands-off and directing and asking questions of the team. They need to be hands-on to be able to prove to the team, hey, here's how I would do it. And I think that's the important role that we need to play.
Could you give me three words that capture your vision for Rocket Lane in 2030, yeah.
I would say radical efficiency is one phrase that I would go with. And then maybe we want to be the default in our space. So like the all-in-one default solution for services teams of all kinds to operate their business. So I know it's not three words that I gave you, but two sentences in a way, but hope that captures the sentiment of what we're going for.
Sure. That was a kind of conversation starters, like an idea. It's all good. Yeah. So would you like to, there's something that we haven't talked too much about, like this is the conclusion of the whole conversation that we had right now. So would you like to share, yeah, any advice or say something that we haven't talked?
Yeah, I think, you know, I recently did a session for services leaders around what new things in AI they should be aware of. But I realized that it's not just for services leaders. Anyone will benefit from looking at that video. So I'm happy to share like the link to it maybe you can share it with anyone who's listening in to watch the video, because even my sister watched it recently and said, hey, that was eye-opening for me. And she's not in services, she's in marketing. So I think I'll share that link. I hope it's useful to more people to watch and understand where the world is going, what they're aware of, what they haven't tried out yet. And that video inspires more people to try out things hands-on so that they can all make that progress in terms of their functions and their business.
Great, thank you. So yeah, we are waiting for that link. What's the name of that actually?
Yeah, it's called AI for PS Leaders, but I'll send you the link, and it's for anyone to become more aware of what's possible with AI.
Great, thank you very much. So I enjoy so much this interview. It's been a great time. Yeah, I hope that you as well have a good time. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Humans in AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.